you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Everyone, welcome to the Running Plays podcast. I'm Grant Lifton, and this pod is brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's is taking the pretzel bun to a new level with our Pretzel Bacon Pub Cheeseburger at participating Wendy's for a limited time only. And for a limited time only, we also have Drew Schiller on this pod. He's going to be joining us right now, and we're going to talk about the latest news, break that down, and then I will push him out of this because I don't want to talk to him that long. And we will actually have Henry Abbott of True Hoop, and he's going to break down who he likes in the NBA draft and so much more. And by the way, Drew, I know you wrote about this. Henry Abbott thinks that Steph Curry is the third best player of all time.
That is correct. Before I comment on that, though, it's been a while since I've seen you in your position there, and you got some new artwork on the wall, the basketball.
Wow, you really have not been watching or listening to anything. It's been there for three months.
No, not those basketball things.
Yep.
No way.
Yep. Anyway. So
you're telling me that those were there the last time that I was on this pod with you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'll go back and look at the tape. But anyway, yeah. Henry Abbott on his podcast, this was a couple of weeks ago at this point, and they were just going over their top five greatest players of all time because, I mean, what else is there to do during quarantine, waiting for the NBA season and all of that? And it was like, whoa, the third greatest player of all time. And he provided his explanation then, and I'm really looking forward to hearing if he added on to it at all when you talked to him. Yeah. And, you know, without a doubt, part of that thought process is just the fact that Steph is the poster child for revolutionizing the game with a 3-point shot. And I think he heavily weighted that into his thought process. But I don't know, man. He doesn't have a finals MVP. I don't think he's in the top 100. I don't think he's in the top 100.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, let's start that right now. Okay, Drew. We have the big news to get to. And the big news is Alaska's results are not in on CNN yet. And I'm just kidding.
No, you had a good tweet there. You said you're not going to stop watching until they finally declare.
Just declare Alaska. My goodness, they're forgetting
about
it.
Same with the Senate seat.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, moving on.
But we digress.
Yeah, speaking of declaring, it's not 100% finalized, but a vote was put in, and tentatively, they said, I don't know what needs to happen to be officially finalized. I think they have to agree on the CBA. But
I think they have to send out an email. It's like
that's the email blast.
It's like back in the day, God, we sound so old, when you became like Facebook official in a relationship.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's kind of like that.
The NBA is about to become Facebook official with December 22nd as the start date, which would put them right in line to get their two biggest days of the year in. Number one, opening night. Number two, Christmas Day. And so they would get both of those in there, and they would try.
Wow, so you're saying if the season starts, you get opening night?
Yeah, isn't it crazy?
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know where they come up with this stuff. So
that's amazing.
72 games, so 10 less than what's normal, and a little bit of a condensed season, just a little bit. The proposition right now has no All-Star game, but there is an All-Star break, and there are so many different factors.
Built-in COVID break.
Yes,
because if they need to postpone any games, they need to have a buffer zone in the middle of the season.
Exactly. So, you know, let's just first start with what this means for the Warriors, because they're a team that has not played in, I believe, 7 years. And so this is a big deal.
Yes, it is. The last time the Warriors played was March 10th.
That's crazy.
So it's December 22nd. So let's just do the math real slowly here. April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, plus 12 days. It's 9.5 months.
Yeah.
It is a 9.5 month break. And as Steve Kerr said recently, look, they're ready to roll. They're ready to go. And, you know, part of all this news development stuff is that we know the draft is November 18th, which we can talk about briefly here in a second. Free agency is going to start like almost right after that.
Mm-hmm.
The draft is on a Wednesday. Don't be surprised if free agency starts on like Friday or Saturday. No joke.
Well, they have to, because training camp starts December 1st. And all of a sudden, you're going to have all these free agents that are not lined up with a team or trying to get onto a team immediately to be like, oh, I'm here. Let's start in 3 weeks.
So here's the hope that the Warriors are able to wrap up all of their, you know, free agent decisions before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Which is 8 days after the draft.
Yes.
So it'd be nice to be able to sit around at Thanksgiving and be able to talk about everything that the Warriors accomplished in the draft in free agency.
So this is a
This is
like you want to talk about it then.
I
sit around the Thanksgiving.
I think
table.
That
do people still
you
have
and
Thanksgiving?
I,
yeah.
According to a certain someone, Thanksgiving isn't going to happen this year based on the results but we won't go into that.
We're not going into that.
Oh, come on. Warriors fans everywhere, even if it's just with their immediate family in their homes and not in big gatherings, which hopefully people don't do, they want to talk about everything that's going on.
They
want to
talk about
exciting.
They want to talk about Giannis on the Warriors, which will happen very shortly. Now it's fascinating to think that a big trade could happen, because if it does before a season starts, it's happening in the next 3 weeks. But the chances are that no big trade like that is really gonna. Maybe one or two where a piece like Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook or something like that happens, where, you know,
Grant, that would be a big trade.
No. There would be like one of those, but the names that the Warriors are looking at, I'm specifically talking about the Warriors.
About the Brad Beals, the Ben Simmons, the Joel Embiids. Yeah, although we don't have a lot of time, but, you know, Zach Lowe wrote kind of a long opus of everything to look forward to with the draft and free agency coming up. And he reported that the Warriors have tried to acquire a quote-unquote all-NBA level player with that number two overall pick. And so we know the Warriors are going to be active here. We don't know what's going to happen. There's just no reason to even speculate. At this point, I don't even care what they do. I just want them to do it.
I know.
I just want to move forward and know what's going
to
happen.
We're close. We are so close to being back, and I'm just excited. It was nice watching the NBA in the bubble, but very soon we'll be able to watch Steph Curry play and Klay Thompson play. You know how you just mentioned how many months it's been since the team played? Think about how many months it's been since Klay Thompson played. He was obviously in the NBA finals, but he got surgery on July 1st. Is that correct?
I think it was July 2nd. God, I've written this so many times in articles. I'm pretty sure he tore the ACL on June 13th.
Okay.
I think that was the date of game six.
Yeah. So first week of July of last year until now, Klay Thompson has been just biting at the bit to get out there. And I am just so excited to watch him play. Draymond Green is just, he's trying to get a little revenge tour going. There's so much to be excited about, but at the same time, what's happening with the number two pick overall?
Yeah, and the Warriors, we briefly discussed this the last time on the pod. No one really has any idea what they're going to do. And that might be a little bit deceptive. The Warriors might really know who they would take if they keep the number two pick. They might not have a consensus, though, at this point. I think that's fair. We're still a couple weeks out.
They may never have a consensus.
Right. Well, I mean, what I mean by that is everyone finally, even
gives
if
thumbs up.
Gives the thumbs up and says, okay, we're going to move forward with this. Now, obviously not everyone is going to agree, especially in this class where there is no clear cut, top three, although they say there's a clear cut top three, but don't be surprised with anything that happens in this draft. It's going to be a wild roller coaster. And look, that's very on brand for 2020. And I'm here for it. Bring it on.
Yeah, why not? Let's do it. In terms of just the dates that are coming up, again, December 1st would be the start of training camp. December 22nd would be the start of the season. We assume that since it is the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry, that they would be playing on Christmas. That is the assumption that we have for them. It'd be
you need to get out in front of this and be just a little more hyperbolic. You need to say right now that Steph Curry is going to hit a game-winning three over Kevin Durant.
Oh, that's what it's
going
to be.
Win the game on Christmas Day.
They're going to make the Nets fly all the way out here. It will be interesting to see about that travel and how they're going to do that. They said they're going to condense travel by 25% if possible. Also, another thing that got said was per county, per state regulations, they might be trying to get a small group of fans in the suites at arenas, which makes sense because you actually can socially distance and you can and put everyone in their separate areas. So that's a potential. And then they even said if they eventually do court side, it would be 20 feet away from the court.
Yeah, we've known for a while now that Joe Lacob, is Warriors owner, is absolutely at the forefront with all of this in terms of the rapid testing of fans to get people into arenas. And we know that Joe Lacob, how fitting is it for him? Because he has a master's degree in public health epidemiology. And he never thought that this was going to eventually, you know, come full circle to the point where he was going to be able to use that degree to help him in his professional life. But I would be shocked. Let's say the Warriors have a game on December 22nd at home.
Yes.
I would be shocked if there are not at least a couple thousand fans at that game.
San Francisco has already – Gavin Newsom gave the thumbs up that per county you can start putting some fans into situations. And so San Francisco obviously works very closely with the Warriors, and I think they would trust the Warriors that they'd do a very safe situation, and they'd monitor it. So I think you're right.
I'm not saying
Put people
in the suites. I'm not saying 10,000.
Right.
But I'm saying that it would not surprise me if there are 4,000 to 6,000 fans –
that's
a lot. Yeah, I mean, that's what?
You can't put that 5%? In the streets. Yeah, but you can't put that in the streets. That would be in the stands.
Oh, no. I think people will be spread out in the lower bowl.
Wow. Okay. First game? Wow.
The reason I say that is because we have heard from everybody in the Warriors organization for months now that they have been working hard at preparing for this. It's not like they're all of a sudden now being like, okay, so what can we do? Let's contact all the different public health. No, they've been working on this. That's and true. Look, people are going to take COVID tests either at the door or maybe they have to arrive at a certain place at a certain time a couple hours before, so they take one COVID and then an hour later they gotta take another one
maybe you have to bring a record that you've had a test within a couple of days and then you do another rapid test just to show the double test. There's so many different ways you can go.
Yeah, we're really diving into the weeds here, but I just think there will be probably a couple thousand fans there. I would I'm not saying that's something that you should freaking assume is going to happen, but So that is one of the biggest variables in all of this.
Yes.
Fans in arenas, because as we know, I mean, COVID, right, it's in a bad place around the country, and the travel aspect of it all, and just how the schedule is going to play out, because you mentioned the 25% reduction. There's going to be more back-to-backs because they need to, you know, squeeze in 72 games in a shorter amount of time. We're going to see probably some series like we see in baseball.
It'd be like the Lakers come up for two games and then they play both games at Chase and then they go down and probably play them, you know, for two straight games at Staples. I don't know how you do it.
Or the Lakers, after they come to the Bay Area for two games, go to Sacramento.
Oh, right, for two games. And then you just start doing it. Yeah, you start taking regions and going that way.
Yeah,
they're going to do multiple trips to East Coast. It's not going to be more than like a few probably trips to the East Coast if they can.
The reality is, let's say that the NBA I mean, look, the Warriors are going to play the Nets. They're going to.
Yeah.
No, but they're not going to play every – there's a chance they don't play every team.
There's a chance they will not be playing the Wizards.
Well, no, because the Warriors need Bradley Beal.
Yeah, that's true. So it has to be – all right, there's a chance that the Warriors will not play the Detroit Pistons at any point next season.
I think that is – I think that's fair. So let's say that they play that game on Christmas Day against the Nets. We're just assuming things right now. And let's say it's at Chase.
Right.
Well, maybe, just maybe, the Nets stick around and also play the Warriors at Chase on December 26th. Right. And the Warriors never play at Brooklyn. That's the point. They're not going to do the whole one-and-one thing with the teams from the Eastern Conference. If they play those teams, it could be just, hey, look, you're going to play them both times, and it's going to be in the same building. And look, don't worry about home court advantage too much because it's not really going to be there.
Yeah, and not only that, let's not forget, I know the NBA tries to even it out and as much as possible, but let's look at the NFL, for instance. It's not like you do, hey, I'm going to play at Lambeau Field and now Packers have to come back. It's like, no, you that's just how it is. The schedule just falls that way and you got to take it and you go with it. So it'll be so interesting. Drew, so much left to be settled. I hope you'd be willing to come back on this pod at some time and talk to me about it.
I'll get back to you on that. I got to reassess everything, possibly do a recount.
Oh, yes. And, just stop the count. All right.
It's political season right now, so
we got to make all these stupid jokes. They're ready. Drew,
wait, what? Stupid jokes?
No. Yeah, don't worry about it. Drew, I appreciate you joining me. And just after this little message coming up right now, I will be joined by Henry Abbott of True Hoop. Stick with us.
Are you faithful to the Bay? 49ers 2021 season tickets are available now and locations are filling up quickly. Lock in your seats with a deposit today to secure your spot for next season. For more information, visit 49ers.com/season tickets.
I have a special guest with me. Yes, it is Henry Abbott of True Hoop. Henry, first of all, thank you for joining. Second of all, you must have gotten the memo to wear the same thing as me today.
Yeah, it's green shirt day, right? Everyone knows that. Wednesday?
Day after election day. This is when we're recording it right now. You always wear a kind of greenish, I don't know. I don't know. What is this color? I don't know. It is camo.
This is the shirt that you wear if you went to that Homer Simpson hide back in the hedge move. This would hide you well in the hedge, I think.
Yes. Probably the best GIF out there. Has to be.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid one. Yeah,
It's the number one one. Okay. You made a little bit of a stir, Henry, and it sent some shockwaves around, especially the Bay Area, but definitely around the country. The Bay Area was in love with this, but the country was, you know, up in arms. So you put this out there, that Steph Curry is the third best player, not just in the NBA today. That's not what you were saying.
No.
Of all time. Now, your list was number one, LeBron James, which in itself can send some shockwaves.
Yeah.
Number two, Michael Jordan. Number three, Steph Curry, followed by some other guy named Wilt Chamberlain. And then finally, Tim Duncan, by the way, who I think is one of the more underrated players of all time. But Steph Curry, number three. Let's talk about it. Just explain yourself.
Like, the first response I saw was, worst list I've ever seen. That's how that goes. And look, I'm not here. Like, this is a game designed to start arguments, right? Like, anyway, there are probably 20 legit top five all-time players. So everybody who makes a list is super offending 15. That's just, them's the facts. And to be totally honest, since I did this, I got a really good talking to about Kareem, and I feel bad now. If I could do it again today, I'd put Kareem in my top five.
Who are you moving out? Who are you moving out for?
It's with apologies to Wilt. He's taking Wilt's spot. That's what's happening.
Wilt, you're out.
Yeah, sorry. But this is the point. Wilt, like, what? You could put him first. You know what I mean? This is a ridiculous exercise. So it's always going to start fights. I would like to add to the way this story has gone forever. I'm just like to add one thing, not to get all geeky about it, but plus minus is a category of stats that we didn't have before and we do now. And there are arguments to be had about how best to use it and how big the sample size is and how to adjust for the other players on the court and the opponent and all this stuff. Fine. I'm just saying that since they've measured it in a really sophisticated way, Steph Curry is the best player ever measured. So I don't think that that is reason enough to elevate him, but I think we're going to find, when this is all said and done, that at this moment right now, he's already played his best ball. In the era of peak LeBron, he took 3 out of 4 championships. Kevin Durant was on those on 2 of those teams and didn't have stats plus anything like Steph's. Like, Steph is the magic elixir here with Steve Kerr, with Draymond Green, et cetera. But I think that the game actually works a little differently than we thought it worked. And the way that you win is a little differently than we thought. And that Steph just makes so much space for everybody. Steph, in this system, makes the kind of space that turns his teammates into legends, right? And, you know, they just kill everybody when he's on the court. That's a pretty good quality in a basketball player, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, the argument that is against Steph is twofold. Number one, his size and just the ability, you know, how can he disrupt the game so much on the maybe the other end of the floor if he's that size, whatever. And then also the teammates argument, as you brought up, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson. But it's funny, in a sport that you are commended for being a team player and for somebody that makes everyone better, for some reason, the argument against Steph Curry is never that, you know, good for you that you made all your teammates better. It's that, oh no, you're a guy that only was elevated because of the team you're on. And how much does that factor in your mind into saying, yeah, Steph Curry did have incredible teammates, but it's potential that those guys, Kevin Durant is a, you know, person in itself, but those guys became so great because Steph Curry is out there.
I mean, we're talking about these all-time players. Like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar didn't have good teammates. You know what I mean? Like, Magic, like, you know what I mean? Like, he lived with Magic Johnson. And on and on. Like, everybody on this list had amazing teammates. I think I'm pretty convinced that there's a little bit of arrogance in us fans watching and thinking, oh, that's the best thing, right? Like, we don't really know exactly how this worked. It's kind of like if we were trying to solve cancer and be like, oh, it's salad. Salad is what cures cancer. It's like, how about you're not totally sure what cures cancer, right? It might be some drug you've never heard of. It might, you know, might be a combination of things. Like, just put a big circle around. We'll figure that out later and just say, let's see who gets better from cancer. This is a terrible analogy I'm using. I apologize. But if you just look at who does well, right, in basketball, it's Steph Curry. Like if, and you know, these plus minus stats are 50% defense. So if he were bad at defense, he wouldn't be good at this stat. I know he's not a standout on D, but he's good enough that his, you know, arguably greatest offense of all time makes him in some, like, up there, right? And maybe, you know, maybe you argue with third, right? Fair. But I think he's definitely, I think winning 3 out of 4 championships at peak LeBron time. Actually, let me tell you here. Okay, one little exercise, which I think is worthy. So my 5 are LeBron, MJ, Steph, Wilt, and Tim Duncan. Just imagine through the magic of time machine, they play a game against whoever you want. Who's going to be the high scorer in that game? Like, just picture it. Like,
that's a great point.
It's going to be Steph.
That's a great point. I mean, in today's game, in today's yeah. rules, you know, you'd think it might be Steph in that situation. You know, if yeah. you go back to the 90s, probably MJ is probably going to be a leading scorer, right?
I mean, it's just like when he shoots from 30 feet, do they bench him? Yeah, then MJ's going to be the leading scorer. But they're not going to guard him. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to take a while.
Right.
He's a player from outer space when you put him back in the 80s. You know, I don't know. Like, there's going to be so much. They need entirely new habits from the defense to cope with what they'd be seeing with him, right? Like,
right.
I don't know. I don't know how quickly they would adjust. I, you know, MJ would do very well today. Steph would do very well then. You know, probably Steph doesn't want to get hit in the face as much as MJ did, but like, he doesn't have to go in there. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. No, it's even when Kevin Durant was on the Warriors, he said Steph Curry's the system, right? It's built yeah. around him. He's the gravity. He's the one that everything, all the attention gets turned to. And there's multiple factors throughout time that we probably won't even hear a lot of the way people think until later on after he retires. But there's so many different reasons why people take it away from Steph, or they have these things out for Steph that makes him not be elevated into even the top 10 for a lot of people, top 20 for people. They don't think he's there yet. But how about this? For your argument, put him number 3. This team coming off I mean, they were the worst team in basketball this last year.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
That's that. I don't think you can get worse than the worst team in basketball. So taking this team, there's no Kevin Durant anymore, right? Yeah. These guys are on the wrong side of 30. They are coming off injuries, all these different things. The dynasty is over, right? Well, the dynasty can continue because they have the core three still there. If Steph Curry leads this team to another, let's say to another title.
Oh, then you're – then I'm then looking really good.
Yeah. Then are you cementing him in your, you know, that, like that's a whole new level, right?
Yeah. I mean, this might not be a thing that lots of people coalesce around. Like, I think I'm more like, look, I'll say it just to give other people permission to be a little less crazy about it. Right. I just want to give people permission to consider it. Right. Like it's not, I don't think it's that crazy. I think if we're just, you know, being as open-minded as we can be about what works in basketball, we just have to celebrate this guy at a very high level. Another championship would, this is like LeBron's championship in Cleveland, and then suddenly it's okay to like say you think he's the best ever, right? That would be amazing. And it's not out of the question, right? I think that I'm a little bummed that they didn't emerge. Like when you have a year like last year, where everybody's hurt or maybe a little hint of the tanking, you might love to have a bunch of young players just emerge from all the minutes that you're going to hand them, right? It's not nothing, but like it's a little underwhelming maybe how that went. You agree?
I mean, Eric Paschal would be the one that everyone stands out. But yeah, no, there's question marks, Henry. There's some young guys. The problem is for the Warriors is a lot of teams when they're this bad have high draft picks. Right. And so they're expecting young guys to look good. And you're like, oh, here we go, the rebirth. But they're in that situation where all their draft picks are at the end of, you know, the draft. Right. And so they're expecting a Jordan Poole, who's 20 years old, and there's a reason he fell all the way to the end of the first round, to just come out and blossom. Well, that doesn't work that way. Right. They were lucky and they hit big on Eric Paschal in the second round, and he has a chance to be a contributor. But that's kind of the tough thing. But at the same time, as you know, Tim Duncan, you put on there, you know, that Spurs team, they had that one down year and ooh, we got Tim Duncan. And obviously we're going to talk about the draft a good amount.
Sweet to have found a Duncan Robinson or something in there. You know what I mean? That would have made a huge,
no, that's true.
A huge difference. As you that's get, like, true. Someone, you know, Eric Paschal is great, but that's like, they just don't have a lot of players. Right. You know what I mean?
Like, no, it's true.
They just don't have a lot of, like, it might happen over this, you know, you get it deep in some series and someone's banged up and now we're going to bring in, like, we're all counting on, they're really excited about.
Right. You don't know who. And that's the thing right now, as it stands, the roster construction, we say, you know, how's this team going to fare next year? Well, so much of this is hypothetical because they have a lot of roster construction to do. Do they have a ton of spots to do it? Probably not. Do they have a ton of money and resources to do it? Probably not. Yeah. But at the same time, not many other teams do. So that's where you start wondering. In terms of just quickly going back to Steph Curry, what do you expect from him this next season?
Well, I don't know how hands work, right? like, obviously, it's an important component of shooting, right?
Right.
But, I mean, come on. We know from just social media that he's, like, hungry as hell. We know that he's an absolute beast of, like, you know, I'm still hung up on this thing. I think he could trap squat more than anyone else on the team, like, 3 or 4 years ago when he was recovering from his ankle thing. Like, okay, so here's a freakishly strong, like, in the gym every day guy. Shooting is the proof that you work hard, right? Like, so we know he's got that obsessive work thing going. Like, so, you know, okay, he'll be a little older, and he's got this hand thing, but I suspect he'll be fantastic.
Do you think he could be a potential MVP conversation type guy?
Yeah, I do. I mean, why wouldn't he be, right? He's not 50.
Yeah, he didn't all of a sudden become 50 overnight. That didn't happen.
And he did. I mean, you know, like, so as you age, like, a lot of what goes away is your mobility, right? But he went without wear and tear on his, like, hips and knees and ankles for a year, right? So I think that helps a little bit. He's not going to age well forever, but I don't know, the way they train players now, they do seem to age better, right? I worked with John Hollinger at ESPN, and he wrote this great story about how basically very tall guys tend to age better than littler guys, which you can understand. You don't have to jump when you're tall to be effective, right? You can grab rebounds and stuff. That's the generic rule, but I think this modern kind of training everyone's doing is a little more effective, and certainly LeBron, and LeBron doesn't move like he used to, but he's incredibly effective now. We're seeing more and more people, more and more like little nimble scorers keeping their performance high as they age. So I would put Steph, I don't think he got fat, you know, I don't think he's gonna
all of a sudden comes back overweight. No, I mean, he also isn't a high flyer, and that's part of what you're saying, right? John Hollinger is saying that these high flyers lose their athleticism, right? But if he's not a high flyer already, I guess the thing about him that I think is more of a concern, just as over age and time, some of the thing that makes Steph and even Klay Thompson so great is their ability to move off the ball, right? And they're being held and pulled, and they're being thrown around the court. And they log up the most miles pretty much of any player by the end of the season. So let's actually talk about Klay Thompson. You mentioned John Hollinger there. He listed Klay Thompson as potentially the worst deal in the NBA this next season, which also sent some shockwaves. What do you expect for someone like Klay Thompson next season?
Just to sell a lot of subscriptions for John Hollinger. That's what I expect. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I mean, look, that was a terrible injury, right? And he hangs his hat. I mean, the stats have been mixed on his defense for a while now. Sometimes he's a total lockdown, you know, he has been an incredibly effective defender at times winning championships, but he's also kind of not played that hard on D for long stretches. I am a little worried about, it's been a while since he was a really good defender. And he needs to be, right? Someone has to be on this team, right? And he's one of them. So playing next to Steph, who is smaller, like he very often gets the toughest assignment, right? And I guess on offense, he'll be fine. But there's a lot of lateral movement, as you say, a lot of off-ball stuff. We'll see. But, you know, I was a little worried about his defense before this devastating injury, you know? So...
Now, are you referring more when you talk about his defense? Are you talking more about the metrics? Because, like, for instance, if you're watching a game and you see him get matched up one-on-one with somebody, either from a guard to a power forward, he holds up, right? He holds up on his own, and you're watching him, and he passes the eye test. Are you referring more to, like, the metrics and what they show?
So, yeah. So, okay. So you're wandering into one of my favorite little things I've learned recently, which is who did I write about? I forget. One of the elite defenders of the playoffs, I made a bunch of phone calls about. Wow. Lack of sleep is getting me on this one, but I'm going to tell you the name. That's private right now. I can't tell you the name right now.
Like a PJ Tucker or somebody like that?
No. Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry. Okay.
Okay. So I interviewed a bunch of people about Kyle Lowry who knew him. And of course, because it's the NBA, no one would let me use their name. But people who really knew Kyle Lowry well and, you know, from way back in the day and all blah, they were like, look, he processes more. Like, so for instance, where is everybody? Where's the ball? Where's my man? Like 3, 4, 5 times a second, all career, even at Villanova, he just knows all of that. Right. And so people think that an NBA defense is like, oh, I made a good move. I stopped a person. No, it's like, there was a play where Kyle Lowry, at the end of an important playoff game this year, he jump up and Norman Powell grabs the rebound. There's like 1 second left. And before Kyle Lowry lands, he finds the ref's eyes and he calls timeout 3 times before he lands. Like, he's just neuroprocessing so fast. But what I think happens is, like, that's how you become an elite defender. It's just like you never miss anything, right? So, you know, I think that Klay knows that, often does that for important playoff series, et cetera. But like when you know, he was like among the worst shooting guard defenders in the advanced stats his last full season. And we went and watched video and it was like, there's a bunch of times where he's like the play's away from him and he's taking a nap basically, right? It's like, that's not what he does when he needs to be his very best. And I think it's because, you know, the season's too long and then you have to find rest and he needs to, you know, it gets fatiguing, et cetera. So I don't know, maybe you need to play him fewer minutes. You know, maybe he just, maybe it's too much to ask, but it wasn't working like that, right? And like this, the moments when the spotlight's on isn't really, I don't think, necessarily when you win your Defensive Player of the Year award, right? It's not the one-on-one matchup. It's all play, all game.
Yeah, and I mean, the Warriors for the last few years, let's ignore this last year where they were the worst team in basketball. When they were healthy, they really stopped emphasizing the regular season, and they became a little more lackadaisical, and they started taking some, not some nights off, but they started taking some plays off a little bit more. And you can see it by the defensive metrics fell right over a couple of years. Kevin Durant also, you know, was elite his first year as the Warriors on defense, and that kind of trailed off. One player that we obviously have to bring up is Draymond Green in that way.
Yeah.
And you're talking about processing. And
he's ability. The best. Yeah.
He's like, he's just, right? He's just fantastic at that. People wonder what Draymond Green is now. Like, who is he going to be going forward? I think a lot of people forget how incredible he was just this last playoffs. Not this one, but, you know, not too long ago.
It's hard to remember.
What year
it was.
What year are we in? No, when he's playing against the Raptors and going before that. Draymond Green, sure, he wasn't great maybe in the regular season. He was okay. He was good enough. But he was incredible, right, in the playoffs. And so I think a lot of it comes down to motivation for him. And it seems like he's coming into this year more motivated than ever. Of course, the question marks are, can he shoot the ball anymore? That's going to always be there. But defensively, you would assume that the guy's as motivated as ever.
Do we know anything about how he looks? Like, is he fit right now?
He is. He is. I actually just put out a video not too long ago. They, you know, all those workout videos in the gym, which obviously show everything for these players. No, he looks trim. He looks good.
Yeah. So that's a big sign to me. Like, because he gets very rarely does a player get a little heavier as the season goes on. But like
yeah, he starts off fit. Yeah.
No. Yeah. But like usually by the playoffs, like everyone just looks skinny as a rail, but like, I'm like, he's getting bigger. What happened? but I only say that because like, I just worry about his like knees and ankles and head. Like, you know, that's a lot of force, right? He plays so damn hard. I love him. I mean, he just seems to do everything wrong. By this, I mean like, you know, he's out late. He's driving his car too fast, whatever. But like the fact is, this is a real story that blew my mind. And I love it so much. Is one of his former teammates said that basically at halftime of big games, like the coaching staff was like, Draymond, like what's happening out there? Like what should we do? He basically was like, oh, he knows like the entire playbook for the other team, and exactly what the little tweaks are they should make. And then like he would tell Ron Adams would tell the team, right? Basically like this is how the scheme is working, right? And I'm like, that doesn't surprise me at all. Right? This is the exact same processing thing you're talking about. So, and he seems to have a little bit like that Michael Jordan, like rally yourself up by convincing yourself they're the enemy, right? And I don't have any of that, but I respect that it really works, right? like it's effective. And you want that guy on your team, and he's, you know, sometimes it gets you suspended for a game here or there, you know, like, but it seems to work. Seems to work for the Warriors. I think he's incredibly important, untouchable. You know, you got to keep him. You know, and this is where it gets a little hard. If I guess Warriors fans are playing the trade machine at this point, but like, come on, you're not trading Steph. I don't think you're trading Draymond. Like, I think they're just, this is the Warriors as we know them, and maybe we include Clay. I don't know. It's these are weird times. Maybe anyway. I just wandered away, of course, from your question there. But I think Draymond's very special defender, and a big part of the reason why I don't think you're crazy to think they could win another championship.
Right. And so that's, you're leading me on the right path. Yeah, man, should I show you my rundown? Okay. So from there, if we're talking about the championship, you have your core three. You've now got Steph, Clay, Draymond. Let's say they both all come out healthy, motivated, looking ready. And that's all reports are saying, I mean, videos are saying that's kind of where we're at right now. The new addition is Andrew Wiggins. Mm-hmm. And it's always been the core three plus blank, right? They had Kevin Durant as that plus guy, which is
pretty good. Yeah.
It's still just silly to actually comprehend when you really think about it sometimes. But in the past, they've had Harrison Barnes in that role or other people. You know, there's a time where Andre Iguodala pretty much became that role instead. But Andrew Wiggins is the wing now for them. I know in the past, Andrew Wiggins has a reputation and his numbers show defensively the issues, inefficiency, shooting. Can you take anything away from that little sample size you saw with the Warriors at the end? Or what do you expect from Andrew Wiggins this upcoming season?
I mean, if he just made less money, everyone would love him, right? Like it's because you also are tying up so much salary cap space that it becomes a really fraught decision. Like, when he was new to the NBA, my friend and colleague David Thorpe, who's, you know, just obsesses, he's been looking at these things for a long time, was like over the moon excited about Andrew Wiggins' potential. All contingent on really perfecting his handle, right? Like, this is a giant, when you come to the NBA, if you don't have like perfect handle, this is the underrated thing about Steph, right? Like, nobody who can shoot like him gets that many shot attempts because the defense will just take the ball, right? So Wiggins never got a fantastic, beautiful handle, which frustrated every other thing he wanted to do, right? Like going where you want to go with the ball now suddenly doesn't happen, right? So he's been a limited player. We would want him to shoot a little better, right? These are the kinds of improvements that can happen. These are the kinds of things that can happen when you have a team that's very good at giving you space, right? It might be that they were absolutely genius to give him a shot, right? I'm not in the practice gym. I'd love to see how that's going, right? If it's going well, then just great. We're good, right? Like, I'm a big fan of, this is an older team. I think you want to have some players on the roster who have the potential to blossom over the course of the season and to mop up big minutes while people are resting or, you know, you want to do strategic rest. Probably we're going to have this weird condensed season. Don't break Steph, right? Let's all agree on this. We don't want to break Steph. So, like, I would sit him before he's injured, right? Not after. So to me, like, Andrew Wiggins is at an age where he could potentially still improve. They can put him in situations to have more of a defined role where he isn't trying to be a superstar anymore. I think he's a very interesting prospect. So the question is, if you're going to try to upgrade the roster, he's the piece most Warriors fans would, I think, want to trade. Like, but boy, that's hard, right? Like, he makes so much money. I guess you have to throw in the draft pick to try to get, like, who? Like, who's going to, like, who's going to give you a superstar for Andrew Wiggins in the draft pick? Like, it's not bad. It's not bad. Actually, there's one other topic we have to talk about, which is the draft pick. I think they go together a little bit. Do you want me to just roll into that now?
I'm really impressed right now. I wish I could show you my work. Just quickly following up about Andrew Wiggins here.
Yeah.
You mentioned he's still room to improve. People forget. It's not like it feels like he's been playing in the league since 1975, but he's still a young guy. He's been in the league a long time. And once you're in the league for so long, people say, well, there's only so much you can improve, right? But when you're in the same system for so long, not given the teammates or the opportunities to get better, it's kind of hard to. It's hard to break out of that, right? And that's why so many people are encouraged by his development potential with the Warriors, because all of a sudden you're putting him around teammates he's never had before, the spacing he's never had before. And he's also, like, they're begging him not to be a guy who slows the ball down and tries to take people off the dribble, right? He's instead slashing. They hope more catch and shoot, or he's more efficient when he's doing catch and shoot. I mean, technically everyone is more efficient when they're doing catch and shoot mostly. But
I am.
For sure. Once I put the ball down, it's done. So defensively is a huge question mark. And I think what people saw at the end of the year, when he's little limited time, when he's engaged one-on-one, he tries hard and he actually is pretty good. He's strong. He's tall. He's long. You know, he does all those things. I think, as you mentioned before, in the system and being able to play off the ball defense and everything, that is the question mark of how he can transition into this team. I feel like if he can do that, I mean, he's a smart guy. He has all the tools. If he could do that, the Warriors are feeling fantastic, which brings it back to the point you made that he's a wing. There's not many wings out there. If you're trading him away, you have to be getting somebody back that replaces that on the team, right? So if you're trading him away, A, right now his value's not too high. People look at it as like a big contract. Why are we taking on this contract? So if you go into the season and he starts playing really well, yeah, you could package him. Or you go, wow, we just got Andrew Wiggins playing really well for us. I want to keep this guy.
Yeah. I realized I should have looked this up before, but how old is he now? Do you know?
25, I think.
Oh, see, yeah, then that's great. Because I was, okay, so maybe I'm this is amateur hour. I don't know the salaries, but like Eric Gordon, maybe? Like, you know, like there's some kind of...
Eric Gordon is actually much less than Andrew Wiggins for salaries. So
there you go.
They could take on Eric Gordon. They could actually take him on, I think, in the TPE, in the trade exception. But,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, but so there are some players out there who I think could potentially, you know, you would expect to help you more this year. But at 25, I feel like, you know, he might get a lot better. It's possible. You know, this is a really facile argument to make, but like Draymond Green and Steph Curry weren't that special under Mark Jackson, right? Like Steve Kerr knows what he's doing. Like, you want to play for Steve Kerr, right? We all agree on this.
I mean, I think these guys are very comfortable playing for Steve Kerr. Yeah.
If Andrew Wiggins isn't good this year, okay, he's probably never going to be good. But, you know, let's see how it goes. And also, you know, when you're the go-to scorer on a bad team, you're playing long minutes and you're exhausted on the offense. And then you're just trying to, like, you know, you just can't go hard every second. You just can't.
You have to get by on defense. You have to do what you can. Right.
He's going to play fewer minutes in a more limited role, and he can go hard, right? Like it would be very beneficial for him to just play 100% the whole time. And let's see how it plays like that.
And I've said this multiple times. Sure, if the Warriors trade for a superstar, great. You package him, you go for a superstar. But I, for one, would be disappointed if I didn't even get to see what could have been. I just want to kind of see it. This has been talked about for so long now because this offseason is about 18 years long. That I'm just ready to see Andrew Wiggins and how he does with these guys, because it's fascinating to me. That's the type of stuff I want to see. If it doesn't happen, it'd be a little disappointing because I never got to find out if the experiment was going to work or not. But okay. The transition, let's make the transition, Henry. Let's make it number two overall pick. And that's the pick that people are packaging in their hypothetical trades with Andrew Wiggins. They're setting it away. What a weird year to be taking at the top of the draft, right? And sure, there is no Tim Duncan at the top of this draft or Anthony Davis, et cetera, or Zion Williamson. There isn't even a Ja Morant. And that's where people are like, is this the year you want to be at number two? Should they trade out of there? First and foremost, in your mind, should the Warriors be actively trying to trade this pick or trying to take somebody at number two?
So I don't watch a lot of college basketball. And I do that thing this time of year as an NBA writer, I have to like catch up and like dip my toe in. And then I end up calling people, right? Because college basketball is a big sport. You know what I mean? Like, you can't really just, you can't win it on a weekend, right? You gotta like filter through other people who are really smart. And I'm gonna like, you know, a week of research. And, you know, we did a big story on True Hoop, David Thorpe did, but I was involved in like I'm 100% clear in my head that James Wiseman is the answer here.
So you're saying 100% James Wiseman is the guy.
If he's there at two, like a million times, I would consider trying to trade up to get him. We have a whole story on Troop about it. Like David Thorpe will give you a lot of detail, but during the course of this last season, a new position kind of emerged as dominant in the NBA. Like Bam Adebayo, Anthony Davis are like centers with guard skills, right? And it's very effective in the kind of space that teams can create now. And these are the big men that you can't play off the floor, right? So Dwight Howard had to sit for a lot of the finals, but not Bam Adebayo, right? These are mobile, like seven-footers who can guard in space and shoot and make accurate passes. He has all the makings of it. Like now there he has... He's not perfect, but the things that he's not perfect at are things no 19-year-old has ever been perfect at. Like, I think you're going to want – well, also, this roster is just tiny anyway, right? Like, you definitely want someone who's 7'1". Like, and it's such a – the thing that got me extra excited about it is you have a bunch of very sophisticated veterans who are really good on defense, who can say month one, month two, month three, just do this, just do that, right? Just give him a defined role and let him be young. And then as he kind of earns more rope, like, okay, just explore what you can do, right? And I love seeing, you know, it's not a coincidence that like Tyler Herro was one of the best players in the finals, right? I think that being that young is an advantage in the way the game is played now, if you don't make mistakes, right? Like, I think you're going to want someone that young on your team. And I think in the long run, he does have a chance to be like some of those players you mentioned, see how he develops. But I think that this is a team that's going to be really hurting for athletic size youth, and there aren't a lot of ways to get it. And you're going to want someone who can stay on the court with Anthony Davis all night. And I think he's there. I think that's the player to take.
In other drafts that were loaded at the top, would you still think James Wiseman is worthy of a number two pick in those loaded ones?
Only after reading David Thorpe's story.
So in your mind, are you saying this guy is the next Chris Bosh? That's David Thorpe has convinced you he's the next Chris Bosh.
No. So, like, okay. At True Hoop, we go pretty deep on this whole kind of nature versus nurture thing. And I don't think that there are some LeBrons who just march around the league and go to the finals no matter what team they land on. But the vast majority of players, I think, are super different based on the situation, right? So I think if you're lucky, on draft day, Kawhi Leonard was not a particularly special prospect, right? But the Spurs put it, you know, he wasn't a great shooter. I think he was among the least athletic players at the draft combine, all the measurements.
Mm-hmm.
But the Spurs, they knew what to do with Kawhi, right? And they filled in the gaps and they put him in situations and he blossomed obviously into, you know, some people would say some years the best player in the game. I think that he's that kind of prospect, right? I think that this is a team that can put him in a situation where he could really become something special. I think if he went to the Bulls, I would say, we'll see, good luck, you know? But I think, you know, I think, and the other players at the top of the draft, I think don't work particularly well with the Warriors, right? It's just more duplication of, like, you know, More aspiring Andrew Wiggins is, right? Like I just
in your mind, are you referring specifically to Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, we have a story coming on LaMelo Ball. I'm not a huge fan.
Okay.
I mean, it might be great. Like, you know, his size and passing, fantastic. But like, there are lots of players who haven't panned out, right? And he's not Luka, right? Like Luka at 18 was playing in the next best league in the world and destroying everybody, right? Like this is not what happened in Australia for LaMelo, right? If he's going to become a superstar player, it will be because of development that has yet to occur, right? That could happen. And Anthony Edwards is just not big enough to make a big dent on the Warriors right now, right? Like players that size are very, I mean, rookies in general almost never help their teams at all.
Right.
NBA, right? Very rare. If they do, they're usually not a 6'3", right? Derrick Rose, Kevin Durant, like, you know, super star players who were terrible as rookies, despite scoring a lot,
mm-hmm.
like defense, getting whistled for a ton of calls, being out of place, you know, blah, 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 dribbling into traffic. Like, it just doesn't help championship teams get better. You know, you end up carrying them.
And sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but to expand on that, you're mentioning championship teams don't get that much better. And that's right. What the crazy part is. The Sonics at the time, the Bulls at the time, they're awful, right? They're really bad teams, and that's why they got those players. The Warriors are in such a weird position right now where – if you are selecting at number two, and this is why so many people are saying trade away the pick, you're selecting at number two, you need this person to perform immediately. He's immediately going to be the fifth highest paid player on the team the minute this person
That's
signs
so
at number two.
How that goes. Wow.
Is that wild? So yeah. It would be Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond,
yeah.
Blank, right?
Yeah.
So unless you're trading it away, you're taking somebody thinking this guy has to either A, contribute now, or you have to be really sure he's going to develop into something that's going to take the team to the next level. And that's why everyone's kind of putting both sides up saying, like, is Anthony Edwards able to at least score off the bench right now, right? Can he come in right now and get you some buckets? Or is James Wiseman the guy that can come in right now, defend the rim, get you some rebounds, and just play above the rim and get lob passes from Draymond Green, right? So where are you looking to improve? How much of it is need right now versus potential in the future? Because many people have said LaMelo Ball has the most potential. He has the highest ceiling, but his floor is scary, right? So I think that's the hiccup right now, is that where are you going with it? And it sounds like, according to you and David Thorpe, James Wiseman is the guy that A, has potential in the future, and B, is able to help the Warriors win now.
Yeah, it's very rare that someone can help them win now, but I think it's an amazing, I mean, Anthony Edwards would remind me a little bit of the, what, oh yeah, Steph and Monta Ellis can play together. Remember that?
No, that's interesting. No, that's a good question. Okay.
Like, not really, right? That was a lie. They were just trying to trade him. Like,
that's interesting. Well, I've said this. I worry. So Anthony Edwards could be the next Donovan Mitchell. He could, right? Yeah. I see why people would say that. Or he could be the next Dion Waiters. Or I even put out Ben McLemore in there as well. Yeah. And it's a scary thing to be drafting somebody with that wide of a gap, right? Maybe James Wiseman is just the safer pick.
Yeah, I went from feeling safe to like really like, wow, this is the opportunity. It seems like crazy to me that they would end up with anyone else. Like, to me, it feels like 10 out of 10, like, best prospect you could imagine for this team right now, has everything they need. I don't buy that this team that has a short window with Steph would be bringing on like someone who needs the ball to score a bunch. Like, it just, like, and which never happens efficiently at this age, right? It just seems like no way. And they're desperate for size. And you know, once you get way down deep into the, like, you know, people who coach James Wiseman in high school and what is his character like, blah, blah, like, he gets gold stars across the board. Like they're going to love having him on this team, right? And so that's where, to me, like, all of the conversation about, like, trading Wiggins and the pick comes down to, like, well, do you like Wiggins and the pick once they're on your team, right? I think maybe you do, right? And this guy's going to be, you know, the fifth highest paid player, but much cheaper than who's your star we're going to get with Wiggins in the pick. I'm so fuzzy on who that's supposed to be.
Yeah. I'm one of the few people that says it's not worth it to trade Wiggins. Let's say it's Wiseman, the next pick. They have a top pick next year too. And whatever for Bradley Beal. I personally don't think it moves the needle enough. Sure. Offensively they're fireworks, right? But I don't know if it moves the needle enough when you could potentially, and this is a risk, turn Andrew Wiggins into a really good player, get a James Wiseman to be a really good player, and get someone really good with the next pick too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you, so we did this thing with these machine learning geniuses before last season, and they basically used a bunch of like box plus minus stats, and it's a very clever assessing of the last several decades of the league to assess who's likely to have the biggest improvements in this last year ahead. One of the things I learned from them, which I guess maybe I'm the last person to know, was that, like, by and large, NBA players who are over the age of 25 don't project to improve. Like, by the time you're going to have the ball in your hands in the finals, you're probably 30. So we think 30-year-olds are, like, you know, at the peak of their game or whatever. But the fact is, those players, if you go back and look, were almost always better when they were 25. So if you look at this year, you know, when you see your Tyler Heroes running around or whatever, Bam Adebayo playing well in the finals, it's not shocking. It's just new that those players get the ball then, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, like, let's just keep in head that, like, James Wiseman at this age is, you know, 5 years from his peak, right? So, like, you want these years. You want these ones coming up right now. Veterans talk about it like, oh, they're such idiots. And, you know, coaches think, oh, I ran to the wrong spot. But it's like, they're actually really good at this age. So the other thing I would say is, do you know, I'm about to say the word Tade Pogacar. Do you know what that is?
I want to say yes, but I cannot. I can't lie. You just spoke a foreign language to me right there.
I did. Yeah. So Tade Pogacar is a 21-year-old who won the Tour de France this year. And everybody's notion is like, oh, how could he win the Tour de France with like no professional riding under his belt? He came from, I think, like mountain biking, cyclocross, like some other event where they don't. So Tour de France is a grueling 3-week stage race where you just race all day, every day, with a few days off. And the idea is that you do 7 of those and then you're like ready to win. But increasingly what we're learning is that's total BS. Like each one you do just ruins you, right? And so more and more, like, the, you know, a lot of the people who've won it recently are people who came not from this, not from stage cycling, right? But came from mountain biking or something where they just rode an hour, you know? So they would do intense training, but they wouldn't just destroy their bodies. Right. So I think there might be a little bit of that in the NBA too. I think it might be that, like, you know, someone who's played fewer games lately is, you know, they can be in tip-top shape, but like hasn't put in, you know, 500 NBA games yet or 1,000, like, might be better prepared to be fresh and dunking on your ass in the finals.
Well, I'm going to write that down. Man, I feel old all of a sudden. Okay.
Let me what I'm saying is you're going to want him this year. I already said rookies seldom help. He might, right? But the next, like, you know, year after that, like, get ready. It's going to be good.
Okay. I like that. Okay. So final question for you. I'm going to make this very specific. You have been one, I've seen you tweeted about it, talking about the Warriors potentially pursuing Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
And I saw you mention that the other day. And does that play into at all, if the Warriors are pursuing him, do you think it's counterproductive then to draft James Wiseman? Do you think it actually is a good idea to take Dwight Howard? Where are you in that camp?
I mean, I never want to do this thing where you, like, predict someone's going to get hurt. It just seems mean. This is how he makes his – like, Dwight Howard has been through the ringer, right? Like I don't think it's fair to make him your plan, right? You might want him on your roster as a minimum player or close, right? Because you're going to have – you're going to have some backup big that you pay very little by NBA standards. So could be him, sure. And he was effective – alongside LeBron doing a limited role, but he was just beating the crap out of everybody. Like, his foul rate was ridiculous. I suspect that 50 to 75% of the Warriors' interest in Dwight Howard is that it really hurts the Lakers to lose Dwight Howard, right? Do the Warriors need that exact set of services from this guy? Like, not at all, right? Like, remember, a year ago, everybody had Dwight Howard was done, and the Lakers, you know, all credit to them, they got, you know, he had a resurgence. But yeah, at his age and injury history, like, wow, that's risky to me. So yeah, I would, you know, I'm already in the tank for James Wiseman, so just get James Wiseman. Right?
Okay, just simplify this. Just take James Wiseman. What are we even talking about here? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the end of the story. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's great. Henry, this has been very informative. I really appreciate it. And I know Warriors fans are going to love listening to this. And tell me, where can Warriors fans find you and the True Hoop realm?
Yeah, truehoop.com. And then I'm on Twitter at True Hoop, which is TRUEHOOP. And right now in my bio on Twitter, you can click to get a free subscription for a month. So I don't know why it's only there. It's just that's where it is. Okay. That's the place.
Just take James Wiseman and just go to the bio. Just it's one of those two things. Thank you very much. And everyone, if you're listening right now, Run in Place Podcast, make sure to subscribe, give us a rating, all that. And awesome. Mr. Right, Henry Abbott, thank you.
Okay, green shirts.
Yeah, great shirts. Thanks so much. Have a good one.
All right, man. Take care.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.